service. Hallelujah. 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 Feel free. You guys don't need to go in your dungeons or whatever. You just head on back. I want you guys to be right there. Just go on down. You won't be a distraction. Head on over. Amen. Good morning, church. Today is going to be an amazing day. I expect it. Amen? Did you come having church before church today? Amen. My name is Pastor Harrison. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you, and I believe it is a transforming one. I realize that every week it is, but today's a new day. Today's a new day, and this is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? And we will rejoice and be transformed in it. So this is the month of November, and I am thankful that the weather is changing this week. It is going to be a little bit warmer. Hallelujah. Right? Get them kiddie pools out. Not really. I receive it. Amen. The white demon will melt. This is the month that we are celebrating the theme, We is Greater Than Me. 2 weeks ago, we started this new series. We talked about the church. And what is the church, and why did God make it, and what's the purpose of the church? And we understood that it's better, we are better together, and God made it that way. Last week we talked about our church, right? The church, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, and you didn't just say a prayer, but you're following after him, that means you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you're part of the church, which means that you could go to China, you can go to Malaysia, you can go to Russia, you can go to Italy, you can go wherever. And if there are other believers there, you are part of the church, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. But if you live here in Cedar Rapids and you call this your home, you're part of a church as well. And last week we talked about that. And we talked about what our church does here and what God has assigned us as a battle plan and how we fight the good fight of faith here at First Open Bible. And I invited you to come as a me, to join us so we could become a we. Because we are better together and God made it that way. Today is going to be the last week of our We is Greater Than Me series. Because next week, believe it or not, starts Advent. Crazy, but it's here. See, God never intended us to go through this journey we call life alone. And he never intended us to pray only alone either. Matthew 18 verses 19 and 20 say, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Verse 20, but where 2 or 3 or 200 are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. 2,000 years ago was the first Pentecost Sunday. It was called the birthday of the church. 120 dedicated and devoted people remained in an upper room. They started with 500, and they went down to 120 in this upper room, and they were praying, and they were seeking, and they were all filled with the power from on high, from the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promised. Immediately after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when that happened in the upper room, the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 preached an anointed and powerful and bold message, and around 3,000 people that very morning came to Jesus Christ as the Messiah of their life. See, right after that, the believers started to form a community. Immediately right after that, they formed a community. And what was that community called? The church. In Acts chapter 2, if you'll open there right now, Acts chapter 2, we're going to read 5 to 6 verses. Acts chapter 2. These are very powerful and important verses. We need to look at these verses frequently to see if we as a church are getting off track. Because if the very first church, anointed by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, did these things, why would we not? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, I'm going to read out of the NLT, says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Powerful, deep, and very structured. See, all the believers devoted themselves to four major things. We read it in the very beginning. Number one, to the teachings of the apostles. That is the church leaders, like myself. Number two, fellowship. You don't want to be a part of a body of Christ if you're not going to fellowship together, right? This is not a country club. This is not something you check off. This isn't something you clock in and out of. This is a family. And we fellowship together. And we should have fun together. We should cry together. We should lift each other up. We should celebrate with one another. And if we're not doing that, I would beg to say we're not following being a church. Number three, meals together, right? Whatever happened to having meals together after church? We need to bring that back maybe a little bit. Amen? Like the Lord's Supper. That was an example that they used. We need to come together and break bread together, right? You see, in any culture, one of the main things when people get together, they do what? They eat, right? And who doesn't like to eat? Nobody. Everybody loves to eat. Just depends what you like to eat. There's an importance when we come together and we fellowship with one another and we break bread together, and then we remember the Lord's Supper. And that's why we do it once a month, where we do communion, because we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. And then the fourth thing that is mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is this: prayer. Church, we can fill it up on a Sunday morning, but when I call upon a prayer meeting, we barely have five people. Why is that? I think it's because maybe we don't necessarily believe in prayer. We need to get back to the basics of what it is to be a church. And in Scripture, preaching, right? Who in here believes preaching is important? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing. I hope you raise your hand, because I'm preaching right now. The teacher won't be happy about that. You know, I read a study actually this week, which was crazy. And they're talking about, why are so many people falling off and out of the church? And they said it's not because they don't have amazing music, right? We can hire all kinds. I mean, I could go out there and, I mean, we have an amazing band, but I could go out there and hire professionals. We could have fog machines and lights, and we can make this place insane and beautiful. But according to studies, that's not why people are staying in church. Do you know why they're staying in church? I think it was like 85, 90% of people who will stay in church, and 85 to 90% of people, why they're leaving the church, is because they're not getting a word of God that applies to their current life, right? We're not coming up here and just reading a story and saying, do whatever you want about it. This applies to our life, and that's one of my main jobs. Too many churches out there are not instilling a Bible-based message that touches people's lives. They're just getting up and reading stories, and they don't even believe it themselves. And what is happening? Why would you want to show up to church if the pastor himself doesn't even believe what he's saying? But the reason why people are sticking around is because they have a Bible-believing, preaching word from a pulpit that applies to their direct life, and they're putting something in their life that is bringing fruit to it. And I believe we got to get back to the basics, church. And if we believe preaching is important, and we believe fellowship is important, and we believe that the Lord's Supper, communion, is important, then we have to believe that prayer is important. Because according to Acts chapter 2, the very beginning of the church, there are four pillars we stand on as a church. If we want to be a healthy church, according to God's word, we must have those four things. And if we do not, we will not be a healthy church. And what church doesn't want to look like an Acts 2 church? Right? I know, dead ones, right? Country clubs. We're not about that here at First Open Bible. We're about an active, alive, Bible believing, right? Tongue talking, Holy Spirit speaking, bold people that are going after, not filling pews, but changing the world. That's what we believe in here at First Open Bible. This is not something you check off. This is not something we check off in our day. This is something that we are. It is not something that we do. We are the church. Prayer is one of the four major spiritual pillars in which we stand upon as a church. Prayer should be in church and done by His church. I think we've made prayer something that it is not. It is not a scary thing, church. We make it something it's not. If you ever talk to somebody else in your life, right? You might have looked in somebody's eyes just a moment ago and spoke life to them. It is easy as that, speaking to our Father. Just talk to Him. See, prayer is the breakthrough. I believe this morning we need church. Because in prayer, we is greater than me. What is prayer? Prayer simply is communicating with God. The primary mode of Christian prayer is we pray to our Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Let me say it again. How do we pray? We pray to the Father because of Jesus Christ. That is our way. He is the way. And we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. That is how Christians pray. We don't pray to somebody in our hands. We don't pray to a necklace. We don't pray to those things. We don't pray to people who are dead. We pray to somebody who's alive. His name is Jesus. That is how Christians pray. What does prayer do? Prayer can send angels to flight, and prayer can move the hand of God. Preaching better than your amen in this morning. It's a charismatic Pentecostal church, I think, right? Amen. What does prayer do? Prayer sends angels to flight and moves the hand of God. Who wants that? Amen? Amen. See, prayer is not something we have to do. Prayer is something we get to do. Prayer might be the most multifaceted gift we have of devotion to give to our Father. There are all different kinds of prayers. Let me say this. God is not a genie. If all you do is sit around and wish for things, you forgot, or you maybe don't understand what prayer is all about. See, the goal of prayer is to know the Father and to know His heart. That's the goal. It's not to get your way. But if you know God's heart, you'll understand He wants you to have the desires of your own heart. See, in prayer, you will understand that God loves to anoint, bless, and heal His children. That's what you'll understand. Heaven on earth is possible through prayer, church. Heaven on earth is possible. It is possible. And I understand in the last days, it's not only possible, it is probable. Our God loves us deeply, and He longs for us to be in a relationship with Him in which we receive the spiritual and physical blessings He wants to give us. Our God this morning. Look at me, church. Our God this morning wants us to have a breakthrough. I believe it with all that I am right now. We as individuals and as churches suffer a great loss when we fail to ask God for these breakthroughs. We are spoiled. America, we are so spoiled. What if every hospital exploded right now and every doctor died? What would you do? What if every pharmacy closed down and you had no other option? See, the rest of the world, most of the world, 70% approximately, doesn't have such things that we have. And because they don't have it, they believe in a faith that we don't have. And what do they see? Breakthrough each and every day. Tumors fall off people every day. Maybe right now as I preach, there are people being healed of cancer, sicknesses, crippled legs are being strengthened, arms are growing out, hands are being remade. But what do we do? And what do we believe in? Because according to Acts chapter 2, we have four pillars to stand on. And I think most of the time we stand on two or three in America. The Lord's breakthrough can change our lives, invigorate our churches, transform our communities, and even change the course of history. Every revival ever done, every reformation that has ever taken place started by one thing. And what was it? It was prayer. Did you know one of the greatest revivals we've ever seen in America? One out of three Americans came to Jesus Christ not too long ago. It was started by a businessman on Wall Street, on his knees in New York City. Out of that revival, one out of three Americans accepted Jesus Christ because he got desperate. And he didn't rely on what we all rely on, especially Wall Street. Money. Because you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon is more than just money. It is a provision in anything other than God. Money just happens to be our greatest God, especially in America. Breakthroughs and blessings are available to every believer and every church if we'd only pray for them in faith and in obedience. I want to ask us a question. Have we positioned ourselves for a breakthrough, church? Have you positioned yourself for a breakthrough? Now, all of us maybe remember, if we've been a Christian for any amount of time, remember that time we were desperate? Remember that time when we got on our knees and we had nothing else? You remember when God showed up? Do you remember that? Are you there this morning? Just because you haven't lost everything or felt like everything was falling apart does not mean you can't come to God desperate. God answers the prayers of the desperate. God answers the prayers of the people who seek him. God answers the prayers of the people who understand who he is and what he can do. If the local church would become a house of prayer, it will then be a spiritual powerhouse from which mighty miracles will flow exponentially from. We want our world to change, don't we? Raise your hand if you want your world to change. Ain't a soul in here that doesn't want to see something change in our personal life, in our community, and especially in America in general. I said this to my wife. I'm going to step away from my word right here that God has given me. I said this to my wife, I think, last night. And I don't know what God is doing. And this is Harris. This is not God's word. When Billy Graham passed away, we all asked, well, where's the next Billy Graham? I don't believe God is going to work through those avenues like Billy Graham did. Those kind of things don't take place anymore because that's not how you reach people anymore. But the spirit of Billy Graham and the anointing of Billy Graham and the things that God has placed on his life, that mantle, I believe, is going to take place somewhere in America. And I am asking the question, just think about this. Could it start with the celebrities? Could it be there? Because think, God wants to touch as many Americans as possible. And what do we look as gods in America? Two things. Celebrities and athletes. And what are we seeing right now in America blowing up? I'm just asking the question. I don't know what God is doing. He hasn't confirmed that in my heart. But if you think about it, pray for those things. Because if we want to meet the lost, we got to find the lost, right? And if God is going to use these avenues, dude, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. And if that's what he wants to do, let's bless it, right? May God have Hollywood. Amen? Amen? I was listening to some music this morning as I pray and I listen, and I put it on YouTube usually, and it gives me just a plethora of different kinds of music that's just flowing. And Zach Williams came up with Dolly Parton, and they're singing about Jesus. And you've probably heard that song, and if you haven't, it's really, really good. You know, Jesus was here, Jesus was there. When you were going through this, Jesus was there. And what's cool is I noticed is, man, I haven't heard that version. Oh, because it's a live version. I looked up, and it was at the CMA Awards, which is Country Music Awards, and then it says, what posted that? One of the most liberal stations that we have, ABC. At the Country Music Awards, right, when they sing about liquor, they sing about losing everything, right? If you play it backwards, if you play country music backwards, you get everything back, right? Because when you play it forwards, you lose everything. I don't know if that was anointed by the Holy Ghost or just how God made me. But when you play it backwards, man, you get everything back. But seriously, think about that. That Jesus Christ's name on ABC at the CMA Awards did nothing but preach Jesus, the gospel, right? And you invited Zach Williams, who's not a country singer. He might be Southern rock or Southern gospel, but he teamed up with Dolly Parton and preached the gospel message not only to country music stars, but to millions who watched it. God is doing something in America, church, and we've been praying for revival, and I don't know what he's doing, but will you join me in prayer? Because we need to see a breakthrough. And if God wants Hollywood, if God wants ABC, who we know needs it, God needs to intervene in CNN. Now, everybody knows that, right? And God needs to intervene in all kinds of stations, and he needs to intervene on late-night talk show hosts who are all just crazy liberals that are talking and just destroying our country with hate, right? We need to see a breakthrough, and if God wants to do it in celebrities, if God wants to do it in athletes, did you see Nick Foles, right? The quarterback of Jacksonville Jaguars. They talked about him being injured, and he said, I'm going to praise God if I'm healthy or if I'm sick. I'm going to praise Jesus Christ because what I do as an athlete, right, multi-million dollar contract, crazy. He says, what I do as an athlete comes with trials and tribulations. God didn't say this would be easy, but what I do as an athlete is I praise Jesus no matter what happens to me. And he did that in an interview, right, just recently. God is doing something, church. God is doing something, and God wants to do something in your life this morning. He wants a breakthrough, and he's calling forth his church to act like they believe in a breakthrough. It's about time we act like it. We want the world around us changed, and the world can only be changed in one realm, and that's the spiritual realm. There ain't no politician ever going to change this world. Not how it works. They might help us out. They might help us out a little bit, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but the current president helped us out because if somebody else would have been voted in, we would have probably lost our 501(c), right? 501(c). We would have lost that, and then we would have had to pay taxes, and then all kinds of things, and all these provisions from pastors and churches. Then they would have pushed the agenda that churches all over America would have to marry homosexuals, and if you didn't, you'd be sued. That was already in order, but the current president put a kibosh to that and said, no, that's not how we do it here. See, God can even use a man who is awful on Twitter. Awful on Twitter. God can use anyone because God wants to see a breakthrough. God can even use me. God can use you or your situation to see a breakthrough. See, prayer will bring about a spiritual renewal that will change our world. We need to move as a church who recognizes our time has come because we live in such a time as this. We are all aging. You understand that, right? You are not invincible, and you will not live forever in this body. So what are you doing with this body at this time, at this hour? How are you praying? How are you coming about the things in your life? What are you battling? And what do you believe for in a breakthrough and in a victory in your life? Because God's word is truth, and I know I say it, and it might seem trite, but listen, you are not promised tomorrow. You are not. I am not. I was not promised that. But God's grace has given me another chance. God's grace has given you another chance. It's time to fight. It's time to believe. It's time to pray. The issues and the problems you are facing right now, what name do you call upon? Now we say that, but do you? Yours? Do you call upon your name at times? I do. You call upon your friends at times? I have. You call upon a doctor at times? I'm not saying doctors aren't right, but they're wrong if they're your first choice. Or do you call upon a substance? We live longer in America because there's a thing called prescription drugs. You know why other countries live longer? Because there's a thing called prayer. In the essence of what we believe in as a Christian church, people not only trust in God, like I trust God, but do you trust him enough to call upon his name in prayer? See, I trust God, but do you trust him enough to call out his name in prayer? Those are two different things. When you call upon the name of, in prayer, his name, you actually experience his gracious provision in your life. In his name, you can experience a breakthrough. In the first book of God's word in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, it says this. When Seth grew up, he had a son named Enosh. Now check this out. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. Thousands of years ago, not millions. That's the world that believes that, not God. Creationists do not believe it's millions of years old. It's thousands of years old. Look at God's lineage, right? Don't look at the carbon dation of... I'm getting sidetracked. They're taking a created thing to tell us what a created thing has lived that long. Look at the creator to tell us how long creation is, right? You're trying to prove something with something else that can't even be, well, how old is that? Is the thing that you're trying to prove how old things are? It just doesn't even make sense. Use your noggin. And if you don't believe it, trust me, in the next 20 years, the scientists will change their opinion again. The same books that you studied in science books that you studied when you grew up and the same ones I studied is not the same ones that they study, right? I love dinosaurs, and how many times have they been a bird, a lizard, and they've died either by eating each other, or they've died by a meteor, or they've died by something happened to our ozone, or they don't know? Because it's called a theory, not the truth. We need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. Hey, kids, just want to encourage you. With respect, talk to your science teachers and say, since we're learning about evolution as a theory, can we learn about creation as one as well? Just ask them. You have every right to do that. Okay? Just do it with respect and honor, because that is still your teacher. But you have every right to do it. Try it out, right? Don't do it in front of your class. Pull them aside. That's respect. That's honor. How much are we missing out, church, when we do not call on the name of Jesus in prayer together and in our lives and in worship? How much are we missing out if we're not recognizing that the Lord can do something about our situation? Church, there is no place to go but to God. Listen, I know somebody in here needs to hear that. Tried it all, but there is no other place to go but to God. You've tried it all, and you keep trying it, but there is no other place to go but to go to God. And there is no greater name than the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 12 says this: Therefore God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Verse 10, and at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Where? In heaven and on earth and under the earth. Devil, you know. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. With what you are facing right now, whose name do you call upon? This morning, we will together call upon the name of the Lord for a breakthrough. Listen, us coming together on a Sunday morning, it's wonderful. I love it. Even if we have a whole bunch of people out today. But if we want to be a church that has heavenly impact, we must pray together in the name of Jesus. Praying together invites the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying together increases the faith of a congregation to believe God for the miraculous. One of the main reasons that churches are stagnant and do not see God working in the miraculous is because those churches do not believe or pray in faith. I'm not giving a sermonette or a talk this morning. This is God's word. It's alive and active, and it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It will not return void, and it has the power to not inspire but transform. And if we pray together, God will intervene. And God will have a breakthrough. 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says this: And if we are confident that he hears us, whatever we ask for, right? Not that Maserati, right? Not that boyfriend or girlfriend, unless you're praying for one that loves the Lord. It says, he hears us whenever we ask for anything, what? That pleases him. Verse 15, 1 John 5. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us whatever we ask for. There's two keys. God will answer your prayers as long as they line up with the first part of that verse, if it will please his heart. If you're praying for your own selfish desires, God will not answer those prayers. Or he'll answer them the way that he wants to answer them because he loves you enough, right? How many people are thankful God hasn't answered all the prayers that we wanted to be answered, right? Y'all would have been married to somebody else. Y'all be miserable. Y'all be somewhere else being like, this isn't the plan for my life. God knows, and God loves us, and there will be a breakthrough. This morning, we will bombard heaven. We will have a breakthrough in prayer, and we're going to do it together. Because we is greater than me. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Right? Some of you are weary. And you feel like you've been asking and asking and asking, and you have not seen that breakthrough. Today is a new day. This is a new hour and a new time, and God will have the victory. Keep on asking, Matthew 7, 7 through 8, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking. Those kids coming back, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open to you. It is now time for a breakthrough in prayer together, church. So before this service, I've asked something of some of the congregation. I've asked for some intercessors to come up. What is an intercessor? It's someone who steps in the gap between God and man. And they step in through prayer, and they pray the merits of the cross to people, and they pray the merits of the cross to their situation, because there's power in the cross. The first group is this. I'm going to call forth the elders, and I'm going to call forth their wives as well. And they're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to anoint them. James 5:14 says this. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what they're going to do. I'm going to call them up in just a moment, and they're going to surround this area, and you're going to come up, and you're going to get prayed for, and there's going to be a breakthrough. And the second group I'm going to ask for is going to be about family and relationships. If you're having relationship issues or having family issues or there's something that is going on, there's going to be prayer teams. And God's word says Jesus is the Redeemer. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. God has given you the task to bring reconciliation through prayer for that family member, for that relationship. Verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. You and these people praying for you will bring them wonderful and beautiful message of reconciliation to your situation. And number three, so those people, family and relationships, are going to be at this section right here, right? We're going to leave the altar open in the front here for anybody who wants to come and pray on their own. But if you want prayer for family and relationships, it's going to be on my left, on your right. And if you need to be healed, it's going to be on my right, on your left here. And the elders and their wives are going to be up here praying for you. And the third one is this, and we have prayer teams that are going to surround the back. If you need a breakthrough in sin, right? You just keep on sinning, you keep on sinning, and you keep on sinning, and you keep on praying, and you keep on praying. Breakthrough today. And if there's provision in your life, you just keep on praying, and you keep on praying, and there needs to be provision. Thanks. Brent, yeah, just Brent coming up today. He's just going to, just Brent, because I know there's some people on the prayer worship team that need prayer as well. And maybe there's something in your life that's long-standing, a long, long time that you've been praying and you've been praying and you've been praying, and it doesn't seem to change. Today's the day for the breakthrough. See, because Jesus is the chain breaker. Psalm 107:13-14 says this, Lord, help! They cried out in trouble. That's you today. God, help me. I got nothing else. And he saved them from their distress. In verse 14, he led them from darkness and the deepest gloom, and he snapped their chains. Right now, elders of the church and your wives, will you please stand? I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to get in your position. And now, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, every person that they lay their hands on, they will be healed in the name of Jesus. God, it says in your word that when Jesus came and he did these miraculous signs and wonders, it was people full of faith, and these people have prepared their hearts full of faith to do this today. And God, when they anoint people, I pray that that sickness will be gone by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Okay, go ahead and man your stations, please. Half the group for prayer teams that are going to do family and relationships, will you please stand? Go ahead and stand where you're at. I'm going to pray over you. right now by the power and the presence of Jesus. We pray for relationships and we pray for family. And when they lay hands on them and they pray for them in the power of Jesus, I pray that there be a breakthrough, there be redemption. God, all these things that have been spoken over these situations and all these curses or whatever it is broken by the blood and by the power of Jesus and that empty grave, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And anything that is holding back right now by the power, it says that we can pray for one, for 1,000 to flight, but if two can pray together, there's 10,000 that go to flight. And I pray that right now, angels, you're going to go to work no matter where those people are, in this city, in this nation, or in this world, that there's going to be a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. Amen. Will you man your station right over here? And then the last group that is going to do the breakthrough, will you please stand? For sin, provision over things, and something that's long-standing. We're going to pray over that, and you guys are going to man the back. Father, we just come to you right now. We already thank you for the victory that has taken place. You are the chain breaker. You are the chain breaker. There is nothing in this world that you did not face. There is nothing that you did not have to conquer, and you've conquered all. And by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of kings and the Lord of lords, that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Right now, all those chains, they'll be broken, just like that prison where Paul was in. Not only those chains have been broken, but the door has been opened to that prison and you are free in the name of Jesus. Because if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And I pray for them right now when they lay hands on those people, no matter what it is, it is gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name, go ahead and man your station. Church, will you stand? I want to encourage you, church. Whatever's stirring in your heart right now. Do you guys all have one of these? Whatever's stirring in your heart right now, give it to the Lord. Will you do me a favor? Will you do the international sign of surrender? Will you raise your hands to heaven right now? We're going to ask God. Will you lower the lights, please? God, here we are. Here we are. Ain't nobody in here perfect, God, and we serve the perfect one. And we ask that right now, whatever we face, whatever we battle, we want to follow what your word says in Acts chapter 2. We believe in prayer. We believe it's a pillar that we stand upon. And right now, God, I know that you are doing a breakthrough. Brent, will you sing that song, Breakthrough, in just a moment? I believe that there's going to be a breakthrough. Lord, here we are with our hands raised high, and we recognize that you are the only one that can bring that breakthrough in our lives. We are here surrendering to you, God, and we ask that right now, whatever we step in to with prayer, God, that you will answer the prayers of our heart. We believe in you. We have faith to believe your word is true, and we ask for a breakthrough this very moment, God. This is a day of not inspiration, but transformation. You are transforming our lives in the spiritual realm. God, we can't wait to see it in the physical. We love you and we worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the next three songs, I want to encourage you to come up and get prayer wherever you're at. If you need to bring your spouse, if you need to bring your friend, if you want to come up on your own, go to whoever it is and get prayer right now. Get prayer right now. And if you don't need prayer, just praise God as we worship together and just give him the glory. And whenever this ends, it ends. Whenever we, whatever we do, but we're going to follow God's word and break through in prayer. In Jesus' name.